Now, if you're a visitor, we're very pleased to see you. We're glad you've picked today to come and join us for worship. Let's bow together in holy prayer. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have begun our service today by honoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, as we did last Lord's Day, our eyes have been lifted up from earthly things, and by faith we have seen the Savior exalted and seated at the right hand of God. And we confess, Father, that we need a vision like this in these days. There's so much to depress us, so much to distress us, so much even to confuse us in the world around. And Father, we truly need this morning to get our eyes fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize that God has hyper-exalted him and given him that glorious name above every name. And Father, this morning we bow the knee gladly at our Savior's feet. Many of us know him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of us have served him down through a long period of time, and he has always proved to be a faithful friend and a gracious master. And Father, we come this morning as we start this new Lord's Day to give you thanks for everything, but to begin the day with thanksgiving and praise for our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that if there are any in our fellowship this morning who don't know him, who come on a Lord's Day morning purely out of custom, out of habit, but have no personal acquaintance with the Savior, that this will be a good day for them, the very best day in their lives, as they come to see themselves as sinners and Christ as the Savior they need. And Father, as we think of ourselves here today and ask for your blessing upon us, we widen our hearts and our horizons, and we look beyond this fellowship, and we ask, O God, that you will bless everywhere, wherever your word is preached. We thank you for many godly people today who will gather to hear it. And we thank you for many men filled with the Holy Spirit who will proclaim it. And we just ask, Lord, that you will bless the Word of God worldwide, as the sound of the gospel, as the sound of Christ's authority goes throughout all the earth. We pray that today will be a day of opened hearts and minds, and a day when lives will be submissive to his divine lordship. We pray, Father, for those who can't be with us. We remember that this is the holiday season, and we pray for people who've gone away to refresh their bodies and their minds elsewhere. We pray that you'll take them to their destinations in safety, and that you'll bring them back eventually to rejoin us, refreshed and renewed and ready to serve the Lord with purpose of heart. We pray for people whose lives are difficult because of illness, because of bereavement, because of age. And we ask, O God, that today, wherever they may be, that they will feel your presence and know in their hearts that people here in Lisburn faithfully remember them in prayer. We bring our land to thee, Father, in all its need. We bring those who rule over us to thee, particularly our Queen and her royal family. And we ask, O God, that that family will know the grace of God in salvation. You have placed them in a high position, but we ask, O God, that they will be willing to take the lowly sinner's humble place and ask the Savior to be their very own. So, Lord, we come with glad hearts this morning. And if we've come sadly and dejectedly, we pray that even now, by your Holy Spirit, you will give us a glad anticipation of good things to come. We have never come to your table and gone away empty. And as we come this morning, we believe that you will have food for our souls that will enrich us and upbuild us in our holy faith. And so we ask these prayers, Lord, and we give you our thanks in the name which we sung about and which we mentioned at the beginning of prayer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Now we'll ask Desmond to come, if he will, and make the necessary announcements for today and for the coming week. Thank you, Desmond.
Well, Pastor, we do have visitors with us. I believe we have a number of visitors. Some of whom are here from Canada. There are some visitors with the Laird family who are from Canada. And to them and to all other visitors, we do give you a very, very warm and sincere welcome indeed. And we trust that you will have a happy and enjoyable visit to our province, and also a happy and profitable visit to our service here this morning. And we welcome, of course, all our regular friends and members as well. At the close of this part of our service, we meet around the Lord's table, and we welcome all who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour and who are walking in fellowship with him to remain with us while we meet around the table to remember the Lord in the way that he has appointed to us. Then would you remember, please, our evening service, and you have indeed been most faithful in your attendance and supporting us in the evening service, and we would ask you likewise again this evening to be with us at 6:30. That meeting will be preceded by prayer at 6 o'clock. Pastor Cardwell is to be the speaker, and Dorothy Ravey is to be our soloist this evening. Then at 8:15 there will be the open-air meeting beside the swimming pool. Tuesday at 7:30 there will be the office bearers meeting. And Wednesday at 8 o'clock, our midweek prayer meeting. And then Saturday morning at 8 a.m., the early morning prayer meeting. Next Lord's Day, our services at 11:30 and 6:30, preceded by prayer at 11 and 6. Pastor Cardwell will be with us, God willing, in both services as our speaker, and our soloist in the evening is to be Mrs. Roberta Wilson. The Longstone Light is available, and would you please collect your copy on the way out, and one copy per family, please. These announcements are subject to the will of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Desmond. Let's have our children's verse, shall we? It's in 1 John chapter 4. All right, and it's verse 16 now. Could we have someone up in the gallery this morning to read that verse for us? I wonder if anybody up there. I'm always accused of neglecting the gallery people. Isn't that dreadful? There's a wee girl, just got her hand up. You read it for us and we'll listen. 1 John 4 and 16, right. Thank you. That was very good. That was a change from getting people downstairs. Now, you'll remember, if you've been coming along during these summer days, that we've been looking up at the sky, haven't we? And we've looked up at the sun, and up at the moon, and we've looked up at Venus, and we've looked up at Jupiter, and so we've been sort of stargazing during these summer Sundays. Now, I have another object in the sky for you to look up at today. And this one is called Saturn. Saturn. Now, I am told, I'm not an expert in astronomy, but I am told that Saturn is the most beautiful star in the sky. So if you get some expert to tell you where to look, someone particularly who has a telescope, they'll direct your gaze to Saturn. And I'm told that it's very well worth seeing. I'm also told, I must consult my notes here, it's much bigger than the Earth. I'm told that you could get 700 Earths into the planet Saturn, which means it's very, very big indeed. If you get 700 Earths, I don't know how many Northern Islands you could get into Saturn. And last week, you remember, we were thinking about going to school, weren't we, on another planet, and how you'd have to go to school for a long, long time. Well, I haven't worked this one out, but it takes Saturn 30 years to go around the sun. So if you lived on Saturn, of course, you'll go a long, long, long time to school if you just went for one school year. 30 years it takes to go around the sun. This great, big, whacking, beautiful planet. Now, long, long ago, there was a man called Galileo. And he was a very clever man, and he was always looking at things through a telescope. And one day, or one night, I suppose, he was looking up at the sky, and he saw this great big planet called Saturn. And, of course, he noticed something I've tried to draw for you on the paper here. He noticed something rather strange. It looked to him like a ring that was round about it. And from that moment on, long time ago, way back in the 17th century, Saturn has been called the ringed planet. People looking at their telescopes, because they weren't as good as the ones we have today, they saw a ring going round the planet. And they thought, I wonder what that ring is. And it's only recently they've discovered that this ring round the planet Saturn is actually made of little tiny pieces of ice, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, and perhaps millions of little pieces of ice all circulate this great big planet. Because the planet is so big, it's a very big ring. The ring, I think, is about 250,000 miles from there to there. You just can't imagine that. It's a wonderful ring made of ice which goes round the planet Saturn. And so Saturn has always been called the ringed planet. I was looking at two rings yesterday. I held out my hand. I was performing a marriage service just down here. And I held out my hand, and the best man, he did the only job he usually does, standing before me, he put two rings in my hand. And then I handed those rings over, and the gentleman, he gave the ring to the lady, and then the lady gave the ring to the gentleman. But before they did so, I said something about the rings. I told them that the rings were very simple, but I told them that they were very beautiful, and I told them also that they could remind them for the rest of their life that they loved each other. And they had promised yesterday they would love each other always in a special way until one of them died or the Lord Jesus Christ came back. But when I think of the ring round Saturn, I'm reminded of another love. It's not just the love that's between a man and a woman, or a mummy and her son, or a father and her daughter. I'm reminded of the love of God. And if you look at the verse that we read, perhaps you've shut your Bible now, but this verse, 1 John 4:16, actually tells us that if you're a Christian, God's love is around you like a ring. It says this: God is love, and he who dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him. And that verse, boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen, really tells us that you can't escape from the love of God. Once Jesus comes into your heart by his Holy Spirit, once you've trusted the Savior, God's love surrounds you. It's like that ring which has no break in it. It's like the ring which our two friends gave to each other yesterday. It just keeps on going round and round and round. And John is really telling the people he's writing to, once you know the Savior, and once the Savior comes to stay with you, God's love is round you every day. You may not always be what you ought to be, or do what you ought to do, but you can know that God will stay with you as long as you live. You know, there's a man in the Bible, he's called Job. You call him Job, I usually call him Job. But he lived a long time ago. And one day Satan came before God, and he said this about Job. He said, you know, you have planted a hedge about Job. You have surrounded Job with your love. And I can't get in at him. I'd love to be able to break through that circle and get through to Job and to do him damage. And you know, that's just like you and I who love the Savior. God has surrounded us with his love to protect us and to guard us and to guide us each day. So when you look up at Saturn, if you ever do, and ever have the privilege of seeing through a telescope and seeing that great ring which is 250,000 miles across, remember there's a greater ring. It's the ring of God's love with which he surrounds all who know and trust the Savior.